June 27th. Today, as we look into the Old Testament, we'll be reading from the book of 2 Kings, chapter 10, verse 32, and we'll go through chapter 12, verse 21. It's not pleasant to read the events recorded in these chapters, but we need to hear their message. Eventually, sin is judged, and God's word is fulfilled. God had ordained the anointing of Jehu and the end of Ahab's family, and he kept his word. King Joram of Israel was slain, and so was King Ahaziah of Judah. Jezebel, the queen mother, was killed just as the prophet had predicted. Then Jehu wiped out all of Ahab's family and Ahaziah's relatives, who were, by the way, also relatives of Ahab and the followers of Baal. He wiped them all out. Now, why was God so severe in his judgment? Because those leaders had turned the people away from the Lord and had polluted the nation. God had special work for his people to do, and they could not do it if they were unfaithful to him. After displaying all that zeal, Jehu should have set the example in his devotion to Jehovah, but he did not. A nation does not become righteous simply by removing evil. It must also establish godliness. An empty house is an invitation to even worse tenants, and they eventually came, and the nation had to be judged. The future of David's royal line was at stake when the queen mother slaughtered all the heirs, and her wicked deed also threatened the fulfillment of the promise of the Messiah. Satan's seed was at war with God's seed, but God won the battle. He always will. The future rested in one little boy whom God protected in the temple. Now, events around you may create doubts and fears in your heart, and you may wonder if God knows what's going on and if he even cares. Well, rest assured that God not only knows and cares, but that he is working out his purposes in spite of the evil deeds of wicked people. God does not need great armies to accomplish his plans. I mean, he can use a boy 7 years old to change the course of a nation. Often when circumstances are the most difficult, God surprises you with a special victory. So trust him. And with that, let's begin our reading today in the Old Testament. June 27th, the Old Testament. 2 Kings chapter 10, verse 32, through chapter 12, verse 21. At about that time, the Lord began to cut down the size of Israel's territory. King Hazael conquered several sections of the country east of the Jordan River, including all of Gilead, Gad, Reuben, and Manasseh. He conquered the area from the town of Aroer by the Arnon Gorge to as far north as Gilead and Bashan. The rest of the events in Jehu's reign, everything he did, and all his achievements are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Israel. When Jehu died, he was buried in Samaria. Then his son Jehoahaz became the next king. In all, Jehu reigned over Israel from Samaria for 28 years. When Athaliah, the mother of King Ahaziah of Judah, learned that her son was dead, she began to destroy the rest of the royal family. But Ahaziah's sister, Jehosheba, the daughter of King Jehoram, took Ahaziah's infant son, Joash, and stole him away from among the rest of the king's children, who were about to be killed. She put Joash and his nurse in a bedroom to hide him from Athaliah, so the child was not murdered. Joash remained hidden in the temple of the Lord for 6 years, while Athaliah ruled over the land. In the 7th year of Athaliah's reign, Jehoiada the priest summoned the commanders, the Kerat mercenaries, and the palace guards to come to the temple of the Lord. He made a solemn pact with them and made them swear an oath of loyalty there in the Lord's temple. Then he showed them the king's son. Jehoiada told them, "This is what you must do. 1/3 of you who are on duty on the Sabbath are to guard the royal palace itself. 1/3 of you are to stand guard at the sewer gate. And the final 1/3 must stand guard behind the palace guard. These 3 groups will all guard the palace. The other 2 units who are off duty on the Sabbath must stand guard for the king at the Lord's temple. Form a bodyguard around the king, and keep your weapons in hand. Kill anyone who tries to break through. Stay with the king wherever he goes." So the commanders did everything as Jehoiada the priest ordered. The commanders took charge of the men reporting for duty that Sabbath, as well as those who were going off duty. They brought them all to Jehoiada the priest, and he supplied them with the spears and small shields that had once belonged to King David and were stored in the temple of the Lord. The palace guards stationed themselves around the king with their weapons ready. They formed a line from the south side of the temple around to the north side and all around the altar. Then Jehoiada brought out Joash, the king's son, placed the crown on his head, and presented him with a copy of God's laws. They anointed him and proclaimed him king, and everyone clapped their hands and shouted, "Long live the king!" When Athaliah heard all the noise made by the palace guards and the people, she hurried to the Lord's temple to see what was happening. When she arrived, she saw the newly crowned king standing in his place of authority by the pillar, as was the custom at times of coronation. The commanders and trumpeters were surrounding him, and people from all over the land were rejoicing and blowing trumpets. When Athaliah saw all this, she tore her clothes in despair and shouted, "Treason! Treason!" Then Jehoiada the priest ordered the commanders who were in charge of the troops, "Take her to the soldiers in front of the temple and kill anyone who tries to rescue her." For the priest had said, "She must not be killed in the temple of the Lord." So they seized her and led her out to the gate where the horses enter the palace grounds, and she was killed there. Then Jehoiada made a covenant between the Lord and the king and the people that they would be the Lord's people. He also made a covenant between the king and the people. And all the people of the land went over to the temple of Baal and tore it down. They demolished the altars and smashed the idols to pieces. And they killed Mattan, the priest of Baal, in front of the altars. Jehoiada the priest stationed guards at the temple of the Lord. Then the commanders, the Karite mercenaries, the palace guards, and all the people of the land escorted the king from the temple of the Lord. They went through the gate of the guards and into the palace, and the king took his seat on the royal throne. So all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was peaceful because Athaliah had been killed at the king's palace. Joash was 7 years old when he became king. Joash began to rule over Judah in the 7th year of King Jehu's reign in Israel. He reigned in Jerusalem 40 years. His mother was Zebiah from Beersheba. All his life, Joash did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight, because Jehoiada the priest instructed him. Yet, even so, he did not destroy the pagan shrines, and the people still offered sacrifices and burned incense there. One day, King Joash said to the priests, "Collect all the money brought as a sacred offering to the Lord's temple, whether it is a regular assessment, a payment of vows, or a voluntary gift. Let the priests take some of that money to pay for whatever repairs are needed at the temple." But by the 23rd year of Joash's reign, the priests still had not repaired the temple. So King Joash called for Jehoiada and the other priests and asked them, "Why haven't you repaired the temple? Don't use any more money for your own needs. From now on, it must all be spent on temple repairs." So the priests agreed not to accept any more money from the people, and they also agreed to let others take responsibility for repairing the temple. Then Jehoiada the priest bored a hole in the lid of a large chest and set it on the right-hand side of the altar at the entrance of the temple of the Lord. The priests guarding the entrance put all of the people's contributions into the chest. Whenever the chest became full, the court secretary and the high priest counted the money that had been brought to the Lord's temple and put it into bags. Then they gave the money to the construction supervisors, who used it to pay the people working on the Lord's temple, the carpenters, the builders, the masons, and the stone cutters. They also used the money to buy the timber and the finished stone needed for repairing the Lord's temple, and they paid any other expenses related to the temple's restoration. The money brought to the temple was not used for making silver bowls, lamp snuffers, basins, trumpets, or other articles of gold or silver for the temple of the Lord. It was paid to the workmen, who used it for the temple repairs. No accounting of this money was required from the construction supervisors, because they were honest and trustworthy men. However, the money that was contributed for guilt offerings and sin offerings was not brought into the Lord's temple. It was given to the priests for their own use. About this time, King Hazael of Aram went to war against Gath and captured it. Then he turned to attack Jerusalem. King Joash collected all the sacred objects that Jehoshaphat, Jehoram, and Ahaziah, the previous kings of Judah, had dedicated, along with what he himself had dedicated. He sent them all to Hazael, along with all the gold in the treasuries of the Lord's temple and the royal palace. So Hazael called off his attack on Jerusalem. The rest of the events in Joash's reign, and everything he did, are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Judah. Joash's officers plotted against him and assassinated him at Beth Milo on the road to Silla. The assassins were Jozachar, son of Shimeath, and Jehozabad, son of Shomer, both trusted advisors. Joash was buried with his ancestors in the city of David. Then his son Amaziah became the next king. Our reading in the New Testament today will be from the book of Acts chapter 18, verses 1 through 22, where we'll find out about four different people. First of all, the tent maker. All Jewish rabbis had a trade because they did not charge their pupils for their lessons. Paul worked hard to support himself and his associates in their ministry. He also worked so that the unsaved could not accuse him of preaching the gospel just to make money. What sacrifices do we make today to further the gospel? We'll read about the watchman. The image is from the book of Ezekiel. As a faithful watchman, Paul warned sinners of the wrath to come, so his hands were free from their blood. And we'll read about the evangelist. Paul moved next door to the synagogue and kept witnessing. He was not one to run away from either the battlefield or the harvest field. The Lord promised, "I am with you," a promise he gave to many people and still gives us today. And we'll read about the builder. Paul did not just win souls, he also built a local church by teaching the converts the word of God. In fact, he followed the commission of Matthew. After reporting to his home base in Antioch, Paul revisited some churches to build them up in the faith. And now let's begin our reading today in the New Testament. June 27th, the New Testament. Acts chapter 18, verses 1 through 22. Then Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he became acquainted with a Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently arrived from Italy with his wife Priscilla. They had left Italy when Claudius Caesar deported all Jews from Rome. Paul lived and worked with them, for they were tent makers, just as he was. Each Sabbath found Paul at the synagogue, trying to convince the Jews and Greeks alike. And after Silas and Timothy came down from Macedonia, Paul spent all his time preaching the word. He testified to the Jews that Jesus was the Messiah. But when they opposed and insulted him, Paul shook the dust from his clothes and said, "Your blood is upon your own heads. I am innocent. From now on, I will go preach to the Gentiles." Then he left and went to the home of Titius Justus, a Gentile who worshipped God and lived next door to the synagogue. Crispus, the leader of the synagogue, and everyone in his household believed in the Lord. Many others in Corinth also heard Paul, became believers, and were baptized. One night, the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision and told him, "Don't be afraid, speak out, don't be silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack and harm you, for many people in this city belong to me." So Paul stayed there for the next year and a half, teaching the word of God. But when Gallio became governor of Achaia, some Jews rose up together against Paul and brought him before the governor for judgment. They accused Paul of persuading people to worship God in ways that are contrary to our law. But just as Paul started to make his defense, Gallio turned to Paul's accusers and said, "Listen, you Jews, if this were a case involving some wrongdoing or a serious crime, I would have a reason to accept your case. But since it is merely a question of words and names in your Jewish law, take care of it yourselves. I refuse to judge such matters." And he threw them out of the courtroom. The crowd then grabbed Sosthenes, the leader of the synagogue, and beat him right there in the courtroom. But Gallio paid no attention. Paul stayed in Corinth for some time after that, then said goodbye to the brothers and sisters, and went to nearby Cenchrea. There he shaved his head according to Jewish custom, marking the end of a vow. Then he set sail for Syria, taking Priscilla and Aquila with him. They stopped first at the port of Ephesus, where Paul left the others behind. While he was there, he went to the synagogue to reason with the Jews. They asked him to stay longer, but he declined. As he left, however, he said, "I will come back later, God willing." Then he set sail from Ephesus. The next stop was at the port of Caesarea. From there he went up and visited the church at Jerusalem, and then went back to Antioch. Today we're reading out of Psalm 145, verses 1 through 21. And here David extols the Lord for his greatness, and his grace, and his goodness, and his glory, and his generosity. Hey, if you're having a hard time praising the Lord today, well, this should kind of help you get started. God's people will praise him forever. So we need to learn to do it day by day. David extols the Lord as an encouragement to others. Members of each generation need to learn to praise the Lord. So your praise is an example and witness to them. Are others growing in their worship because of you? David hears all God's works praising him. Nature takes on new meaning and new beauty when you realize this. When you live a life of praise, you have the Lord's help in every situation, because Scripture teaches us that God inhabits the praises of his people. If you stumble, well, he helps you up. If you're hungry, he feeds you. If you call, he draws near. No wonder David blessed the Lord so much. Psalm 145, verses 1 through 21. A psalm of praise of David. I will exalt you, my God and King, and praise your name forever and ever. I will praise you every day. Yes, I will praise you forever. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. No one can measure his greatness. Let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts. Let them proclaim your power. I will meditate on your majestic, glorious splendor and your wonderful miracles. Your awe-inspiring deeds will be on every tongue. I will proclaim your greatness. Everyone will share the story of your wonderful goodness. They will sing with joy about your righteousness. The Lord is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. The Lord is good to everyone. He showers compassion on all his creation. All of your works will thank you, Lord, and your faithful followers will praise you. They will speak of the glory of your kingdom. They will give examples of your power. They will tell about your mighty deeds and about the majesty and glory of your reign. For your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. You rule throughout all generations. The Lord always keeps his promises. He is gracious in all he does. The Lord helps the fallen and lifts those bent beneath their loads. The eyes of all look to you in hope. You give them their food as they need it. When you open your hand, you satisfy the hunger and thirst of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in everything he does. He is filled with kindness. The Lord is close to all who call on him. Yes, to all who call on him in truth. He grants the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cries for help and rescues them. The Lord protects all those who love Him, but He destroys the wicked. I will praise the Lord, and may everyone on earth bless His holy name forever and ever. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 1. Unfriendly people care only about themselves. They lash out at common sense.